Call Me is the smash hit that put the funk group Sky at the top of the charts in 1981. The band was formed in New York City in the early 70s and fronted by three singing sisters who were born and raised in Brooklyn. Denise, Dolores, and Benita Dunning started singing in front of their mother's bedroom mirror as little girls. By the time they graduated high school, they were singing at beauty pageants, which got them noticed by the musicians who helped form Sky.
Goodness, thank you so much, Valerie. We are love that intro, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, you would think we've heard it for the first time and it's about our lives, but it doesn't matter because it always sounds so fresh and so amazing to us when we hear it. We are just so proud and happy as three sisters, young sisters growing up in Brooklyn, New York, out of the projects, Lafayette Gardens projects, always singing in front of the mirror. We used to drive our mother crazy. Right,
yeah.
Right, Bonnie?
And we actually had our poor mother really, like, telling us to go in our separate rooms because we'd get in front of that mirror and sing three different songs at the same time, and she would stand it with so much, and then she'd say, okay, go to your room, go to your rooms. But the one thing our mom did not do is that she never stopped us from being creative. Correct, Dolores?
Absolutely. She always made sure that we would, she never stopped us from, as Bonnie said, being creative. I used to draw, too. So I would draw. She would give me compliments on that. But when we decided to sing, she would always just sit and listen. And she would just listen and listen until we started singing three different things. And then she'd say, okay, I'm done with that.
Right.
Okay, you'll go in your room now. Unless you're going to sing the same thing, then I can't deal with you.
Yeah.
Because she never stopped us from doing that. Because sometimes she would even join in.
Yes.
Or she would dance. You know, like those were the days when on Saturdays it was cleaning day, and they put on some music, and we get to singing and vacuuming and washing walls and doing this and that, and Mom and Dad would sing along. So we had a family thing that we did as creatively music-wise.
And we're so glad that they were very supportive of us by the time we graduated high school. And we were all involved in chorus during high school, which was sort of the center of our, you know, professional training in singing. We used to sing in the talent shows, and we used to sing at, you know, various things that they had going on in school, something called Sing. I don't know if they do those anymore in high school, but it was basically a grade play, and we would perform in those. And we were just fortunate that after we did this talent show in high school, we met, started associating with various musicians, you know, in the neighborhood, in the Brooklyn community. And the Miss Black America New York State pageant, I think, was the springboard for our professional career. We performed at that event, and that's where we were able to meet our first producer, Solomon Roberts and Randy Muller.
Man, that's so beautiful. Thank you guys for that. I want to take it a little deeper down the rabbit hole because I found something on YouTube that I really, really, truly want to. I want to do this. I want to play this because I love doing interviews that speak to young people. As I expressed to Austin, and I was like, everything that I do and all that I am is because of, you know, not only what my mom instilled in me, but because of the love and passion that I have for millennials and below. So again, you guys are my sheroes. I thank you so much because it is because of you that I get to do what I am doing today. And I know that I rest today on the shoulders of all of your hard work. So I wanted to make sure that I said that. But one thing I really, truly wanted young people to hear is something that I heard in an interview. Denise, you said something, and I would love for you guys to pick it up from here. Again, taking you on an audio journey. Here's the audio. It's about a minute and a half, and then we'll talk.
I grew up in Lafayette Gardens projects. Everybody's dad or mom worked for the city. My dad was a bus driver. Everybody had a dad and a mom. A culturally rich group of individuals with a set of standards in terms of behavior. While I lived in a majority black neighborhood. I went to school in a majority white neighborhood. My mom had very high standards for us academically, and we were considered really smart. And sadly, they did not have the level of curriculum in the black schools at that time to handle, you know, the smarts that we had. We were accepted on many levels by our peers, our students, and not so accepted on many levels by the faculties. I recall distinctively having an issue with my sixth grade teacher. She accused me of plagiarizing someone else's writing in the class. It was actually a white young man that I copied from his paper. And it was a traumatic experience for me because I love to write and I always had an imagination. And she just couldn't fathom that this could have sprang from my own mindset. So that was a little bit rocky. I was very fortunate to be raised in a household where my mom taught us a great deep sense of pride. This is her main thing. Look, anybody that's speaking to you, look them in the eye. Do not speak with your head down. Be proud. And
oh, I love that story. I'd like to pick it up from that, if you guys wouldn't mind revisiting that and share some colorful stories with us. That was phenomenal.
That, you know what? I am so happy that you pulled that, Valerie. You are a sneaky little thing, and I love you for that. I want to say that all three of us had that same experience because we all traveled outside of our neighborhood to go to school from elementary school. Because, as I stated in that clip, we were considered intellectually gifted children. Again, and I think this carries over into a lot of communities today, which is why there's this discrepancy and people are talking about charter schools versus public schools. They still are not funding public schools at a level that will raise the bar on the things that are offered to young people of color academically. That includes not only academic skills, but also artistic skills. Music programs are the first ones to be cut. Art programs are the first ones to be cut. And those are the types of things I think that have created the individuals that we have become. So I'm not the only one that had the experience of growing up and going to a majority white school. Both of my sisters did as well.
Exactly. I mean, I know I was in the third grade when I got a letter from the principal, and I'm like, I know I'm not a rabble rouser in class, and they were informing my mother that I was now being transferred to another school because I was deemed as being intellectually gifted. And so I went from there to elementary school, and then from elementary school, I went to junior high school, and I took the seventh and the eighth grade together. So I was fortunate. I never had the same experience that Denise had with plagiarism, and I don't know. accusation of, you know, I think it was really an experience because not only was I a black person of color in those programs, but there were many of us that were in those programs.
Yeah, by the time
you know.
Yeah, Bonita, just for clarity, Bonnie is like two grades right behind
that's
me, right?
That's two grades. Still,
yeah.
But
it made a difference in terms of, you know, the experience, right, Bonnie?
Well, I don't know if someone else may have had the same experience as Denise. You know, I'm quite sure they may have. But when I got to FGR, it was the same thing. It was the same exact amount of minority students versus white students. And so, but we were just very, very fortunate that we went to schools that had such a great curriculum. And I think nowadays, I mean, like Jimmy said, it's the charter schools that have this extended, this highly, highly extended curriculum. But I do feel that in these schools nowadays, when it comes to these students, I do think they're moving them at a rate of speed that some of them cannot keep up. And it's really sad to see that there may be a lot of, you know, students or whatever who are
who are intellectual, but the pressure that they are under to perform is unbelievable. And so this is the reason why I feel that when you have a child that is in school, you have to tell them to do the best that they can. But the one thing that we cannot do as mentors or as parents is to make our children feel that they are not worthy. And just because they don't get an 100 on the test, that they are a failure. So, like, Dolores was the same thing. Denise also skipped grades.
Yeah, I did. I also did 7th and 8th grade in 1 year. They would call it a special pupils enrichment program. Going into high school at being like 14, because I graduated high school in 1970, I was 16 years old. And there were not many people at 16 that were even coming into high school back in the 60s and 70s. I was more geared toward the arts. I was in a modern dance class. I did a fashion design class. That's where my forte was. And so it was easy for me to go into that because, what was in my head was on paper. And it wasn't something that I needed to write down, something I needed to study. It was from my own imagination. And so for me, that I didn't have to, I didn't deal with the kinds of issues that Denise had to deal with in terms of this accusation of plagiarism, because everything that I put out there was either from how I danced or what I designed.
And I love that we're having this discussion because me being a couple of grades ahead of them, it seems as if adjustments and mental adjustments were being made by faculty. You know, again, I'm talking about an experience that I had in the sixth grade versus by the time we got to high school, we had nothing but amazing experiences.
Right.
And historically, by that time, busing and integration of the schools was a major thing here in New York City. We went to majority white schools just before the integration edicts,
right,
because we were going because we were smart, not because of political pressure to equalize the educational system.
Right.
But it worked out in our favor because by the time we were already there to greet the rest of the black students that were all starting to be quote unquote bus.
Right, because we had PS 230.
Right, right.
On
right.
Orange Avenue, because that's where we met Val and all of that.
That's what I'm saying. The beauty of it is we're still friends with all of those students,
pretty much
all of those students to this day. We just celebrated a 50th anniversary. celebrated a 50th reunion, I think it might have been 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 2019.
Before COVID.
You might add. We celebrated a 50th reunion of our high school. And it makes me laugh because when I speak to young people in particular about reunions and many other people of, a little bit younger than us, and we say, oh, we're going to our high school reunion, it's like they could care less.
Right.
Because they did not have the same kind of amazing, enriching experience that we had, as I said, not only on an academic level, but in a social level as well. And that's why, and that's why that's so important to us to this day. But thank you for bringing that up. I am hoping that as COVID starts to wane, that schools across the board will start to really address the needs of young people of color. I know there's a great majority of young people of color who are experiencing educational deficiencies, and those things need to be addressed. Special education needs, those things need to be addressed. I'm an advocate of special education and diagnosing your child early on so that accommodations and appropriate accommodations can be made for them. But at the same time, the schools have to be prepared to deal with that. The schools have to be prepared to work with those children because those children are just as capable of learning and of making progress and of going on to whatever academic endeavors that they may have or vocational endeavors that they may have as long as they're captured early on.
You know, and I totally appreciate everything that you guys said, and I definitely appreciate the stories. Man, that's just good. I've been over here taking notes. I wanted to to ask you to do something, and that is, can you this? I am real big on post-pandemic happiness. You touched on a few things, so I'm going to try and marry these questions for the sake of time, because I have two other audio clips that I want to play. But you stress a few things. One, if I could get you guys to talk about what are the secrets to family, to the secret of family happiness. What is your secret? As sisters, as Black women, you know, and this is Women's History Month. If I could get you to speak to that wherever the spirit leads you, trying to just morph all this energy and the questions together, but what would you say is your secret? And then I have a second question, because I don't want to load the question, but let's start there. What is the secret of sisterhood, family happiness, and staying together?
Well, this is Bonnie. I am a firm believer in, okay, we're going to annoy each other. That goes without saying. We annoy each other all the time. But this is the thing. That 10% of annoyance should never overshadow that 90% of what that person does for you as a whole. If you let that 10% get underneath your skin, the love is lost. So, yes, if I'm annoying, so what? You let that slide and you think about that when that person has been there for you, when that person never hesitates to do anything for you. And so all of that is put underneath the rug. Time is too short to let something, it could be deemed as small, it could be big, but it's still a small thing when it comes to the love, the respect, and the honor that we have for each other as a whole. There is nothing that the three of us won't do for each other, and there's nothing that the three of us won't do for the rest of the family and vice versa. So when you think about that 10%, take that 10% and throw it out the window and think about what that person really means to you.
That's it. That's
yes. And you know what? I'm so happy that you came into the whole Women's History Month thing. I want to tie that in briefly. We have been very privileged to have some very strong female influences in our family who have brought us along on various levels. So I did a whole Facebook post showcasing actually the female members of our family, aunts and grand aunts, right? I don't think I did Aunt Mary, actually, because Aunt Mary was my mother's oldest sister. She was a pip. We were very privileged to have known our grandmother on our paternal side, our dad's mother, Sarah, my grandma Sarah, who I'm telling you was a beyond special person, whose house we used to go to as little kids, try on all her jewelry. She had the most fabulous bureau, right?
Oh,
right,
yeah. Bring the clothes in her bureau,
my goodness,
in the hallway.
You know, we had that experience of learning, and she taught us female communality. My mom and my aunt would be in the kitchen making sausage. These women made sausage from scratch, making applesauce, making something called slumgullion, which is just simply tomatoes, okra, succotash. It's called succotash in the formal vernacular, but mommy called it slumgullion. But we would watch these women work together from little children, right? So we understood communality among the women in the family. And then our mother was just an amazing person at keeping us grounded, keeping us all on one page. Her famous line was, "One day all you're going to have is each other. Stop that fussing. Stop that fighting. Nobody's interested. I'm not interested in your story. I'm not interested in your story. And you could have been right. She never made. I was just having this conversation with one of our extended sisters who we've adopted in our family. So I have to say that the women in our family were extremely influential. The grandmothers, we didn't know our grandmother on my mother's side very well, but while our aunts, one of my aunts, Aunt Sadie, my dad's sister, was very influential in, for me, introducing me to music. She brought me my first organ. She gave us her reel-to-reel tape recorder where we would record Function at the Junction. Me and my sisters, you know, she nurtured the musical side of us.
And my Aunt Dion.
And, yeah, go ahead, Dolores.
And from my creative side, Auntie Dion taught me how to do needlepoint. She taught me how to knit. And she taught me how to crochet.
And to draw.
She used to draw with me, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, and I hope and pray that this becomes an extension of an enrichment for other young people coming behind us, for women to bond together in families and to not be so stressful and so strifeful about, you know, problems that, like Bonnie said, the 10% of problems that one perceives. You know, let's hope that they can reduce that, throw that out the window, and bond on a level that helps you work shoulder to shoulder and walk in step with one another.
Thank you. Wow. I'm very, very impressed. And I keep looking at the clock. I apologize. All right. So let me see if I can put these two questions together real quick. So if you could also say something to people who are aspiring to get into this industry, specifically women, again, in celebration of Women's History Month, if you have a word or a message for them, young people, who want to get into this industry, how to stick together if they're going to do it as a family, but also, too, how not to sacrifice their soul and sell out to a lot of the rules and traditions of current society. So I said a lot. So
Amen. Listen, Valerie, amen to not sacrificing your soul. I'm going to give you a quick thing that just happened to me yesterday. I don't know why. I was on Instagram, and I happened to fall into a live conversation among, I want to say about seven, because there were seven people, six of them young people plus me. And they were supposedly having a discourse conversation about the young lady who was an artist and two young men who wanted to take her into the stew. And I kind of finally figured out that the stew meant the studio, okay? And I, when I tell you, I just fell into this conversation. So they are early 20s, if that. And I was so saddened by the fact that they were talking for a good 15, 20 minutes about absolutely nothing. They were more so going back and forth about who was hopping on whose bandwagon. Those weren't the words they used. That's the old lady words to say, you know, I'm bringing you up. I'm the one that you're looking for the come up. And they talked and talked and talked around the subject, right? In an adult conversation, the studio would have been booked. The songs would have been decided upon.
It would have been
and scheduling would have happened, and we would have known what we were doing when. But all they spent time doing was disrespecting one another across the board. So what is my advice for young people? Please be purposeful about what you're doing.
Have a plan, what a plan.
Please surround yourself with people who, like yourself, are trying to make a success of what you're doing, okay? Enough of the competition in the music industry. Of course, we know that, you know, the overall umbrella is competitive, but it's only competitive if you could get at the starting block, and when the gun fires, you take off on the race, okay? If you're still back in the background chatting and still putting on your sneakers, you're not in the race, okay? So I want to see young people blossom and prosper. And I have to say that I personally have been listening to Spotify and trying to open my own mind and enlighten myself about what young people are doing. And I hear some really good stuff, and I hear some really bad stuff. The thing I want them all to understand is know the business, know the craft. The game has changed since we were coming up in the game, because we came up through record labels, A&R departments, marketing departments. All of that stuff was in place for you. As an independent artist, you got to know all this stuff, okay? And I want you to take your talented selves and respect yourself and make sure you surround yourself with people who are going to be to your benefit. And get a lawyer, okay? Hire a lawyer. When people start passing around contracts and people start wanting you to do this, that, and the third, have a lawyer to look over your contracts to make sure that things are in order. If you want somebody to manage you, I don't care if you're going in the studio with somebody. The question I posed to them, and they ignored it, was, have you copyrighted your material?
They have no idea what that means.
They don't, and this is what Dolores has said. They have no idea what copyright means. And so that's where I go.
It doesn't make sense.
You have to educate yourself. We would have never gone on, we would have never sat and spoken to someone and said the stew. We would have said the studio. And so this is how they are coming across. They are coming across, they may have some book knowledge. And not everybody has the same type of knowledge as the next one. And that's okay. But like Denise said, you have to surround yourself with people who are going to help you bring yourself up, and you're going to bring each other up. Joe, present yourself in a proper manner, because they're going to come at you just like you present yourself. If you present yourself respectful, if you present yourself that you have educated yourself about what you want to do, and let's not talk about the personal stuff. That is not what being in the business is all about. What being in the business is all about is the business, not who did what, not who was in the studio with whom, not who slept with whom. None of that has anything to do with the music business. Am I correct, Laura?
You're absolutely right. And years ago, there was a book that was called The Business of Music. It was, I mean, and this book was out maybe 70s, 80s, but it's still relevant.
They keep revamping
it. And
it's, bring it up
it's, at the end of the day, it's still relevant.
Yeah.
You have to know what the business is about, because you will get chewed up and spit out.
That's right.
And at the end of the day as well, if you're going to put yourself out there, as Denise said, in a positive light, you have to think about the fact that years from now, your grandchildren are going to hear the music and see the videos that you did.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with my grandchildren seeing what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, my granddaughter danced on stage with us. I'm okay with what I did, and I'm okay with how I presented myself on stage. And if these women are going to go out there and do what they say they want to do and put their craft out there, be true to yourself about who you are and think about the repercussions of things that might go on in your life 30, 40 years from now if you didn't.
And you know what? I might sound old. But
we are.
And then there's that. My thing.
You're not old. You're seasoned.
Well, with that seasoning, I want to ask my young people to stop cursing on the records. There is a dictionary. Okay. Full of amazing words. I wish I should have done my research, Valerie, on exactly how many words are actually in the dictionary, okay? And stop using the F, the B. Stop it. There are other words to use. And if you're really clever and you're really talented and you're really crafty,
you don't have to use,
okay, you can find other words to use and say as opposed to curse words. So that's the thing that has turned me off on a lot of things that I've listened to Spotify. I'm listening, beat, and see. I'm not duped by the great beat.
No,
you know what I'm saying. The beat could be nice, but as soon as I hear the F bomb, I'm going to the next song. Now, that is not true of the majority of people listening. You know what I'm saying? And this is the sad thing, and this is where I want to talk about my listeners. You know, expect more from people. If people are talking to you, expect that they should speak to you in a respectful fashion and use words that are going to uplift you as well. Raise the standards. Raise the standards, please. That's all
raise
I
them.
Say, Valerie. Raise them. Raise the standards.
Get on the escalator.
You know, guys, y'all got to come back. We definitely got to do a part two. We got to make this happen because there's absolutely no way to get all this good stuff into 1 hour. I apologize. I want to keep this energy going because I want you to tell me, I know that one of you were absent, but what is the difference between how you felt and or the energy of the audience? Because I tell you, it gave me life. What is the difference between then and now? Here we go.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm. They get the message. They get the message. I don't know what it is you do to people. Somehow or other.
Yeah?
No. I don't think they like you. Would you please do me a favor, introduce me to the lady on your right?
Denise Crawford.
Denise, nice to have you here.
Gerald Abel on bass.
How do you do, sir? All the way in the back here. Wait a minute.
Tommy McConnell on drums.
Tommy, nice to have you with us. We'll skip down this line right here with this lady right here.
Dorothea Bragg.
Dorothea, nice to have you with us.
Bonnie Dunning.
Bonnie, it's a pleasure.
Guitar, Butch Sierra.
And on keyboard.
Keyboards, Wayne Willen.
Wayne, nice to have you with us. Now, this is not a Dunning sister. What happened here?
Well, the other Dunning sister is having a baby, so I'm filling in.
Reasonably good excuse.
The Dunning sister who's on maternity leave is Dolores Dunning Milligan.
We send her our very best.
Yeah.
You can tell that we've sort of been waiting for this. It's a long way from here to Brooklyn, where all of this comes from. Or does it come from outer space still?
It comes from Brooklyn by way of Yenzalia.
All right. I've told that story. I've got a radio show, and I've told that story at great length, and it's very confusing to me. But whatever is the inspiration, it works. Do you really record in your basement?
Well, we get it together, basically, in the basement. And after we get it all ironed out, then we go into the studio and lay it down.
I got to say, you got to have the most understanding neighbors in the world. That's not the only group that works out in your cellar.
Yeah, we've had basically BT Express and Brass Construction have sort of come out of those halls. And
it's extraordinary. We wish you continued good luck. I don't want to take up time. We want to listen.
Ah, that was so phenomenal. That was phenomenal.
I love it, Valerie. I love it.
Dolores can tell you how that felt.
Listen, I was like, and I watched it on TV. I was like, well, huh, what? And what I really appreciated about Dick Clark was the fact that he was the only one out of all the shows that Sky did when I was on maternity leave. Dick Clark was the only one that acknowledged the fact that I was not there, and that made me feel so, so good.
Aww. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's make sure we make it clear. How did the name, I know because I did my homework, but Sky and then Ladies of Sky come about?
Well, that's Solomon Roberts. We were sitting down trying to figure out what to call ourselves. Because, you know, as ladies of, before we were Ladies of Sky, my sisters
Sky.
And I
right.
were the Sounds of Soul.
And then Dylan Ray.
And then Dylan Ray. And so once we teamed up with Solomon, we were sitting around trying to figure out, you know, what we were going to call ourselves. So we tossed around a couple of names, and then Sky came up. Now, Sol decided to add the extra Y for a little bit of extra emphasis, but at the time, it was the 70s, the late 70s, and Star Wars themes and Star Trek themes were very prevalent, you know, in the 70s, and so we decided to go with that because we felt that the sky represented various moods of music. You know, it's rainy, it's cloudy, it's sunny. And we wanted to, you know, say that our music had a sort of universal appeal. But to take that one step further, and I just might add, we had this story about Yenzalia, which Dick Clark alluded to, and that idea came from the mind of our drummer, Tommy McConnell. And I don't know if you guys are aware, but we did lose Tommy. Tommy passed about 2 weeks ago, and we had an opportunity to get together in his honor a couple of weeks ago. But Tommy is the one who came up with the Yenzalian dream. And so it basically told the story of how the planet Yenzalia was attacked by the Zaytites. And when the planet was destroyed, these crystals went out throughout the universe and touched upon the eight people who were ultimately Sky. And the purpose of our reaction to the receipt of these crystals was to create music that would bring love, peace, and happiness throughout the world.
And joy.
And anything else, any other adjective that describes,
right,
you know, music and happiness. And so, we were much more touched by it at Tommy's repast because we'd long since kind of forgot about that story.
The whole story.
And in the beginning of our performances, when we first started back in the 70s, we actually came out with sabers, Star Wars swords,
right,
and helmets, and began the performance. Don't give Austin any ideas is all I have to say.
Because we can't see that. Now we have to put on our glasses.
But that's where the whole Sky idea came from and Sky concept came from. And if branding were, you know, like it is now, you know what I'm saying? We could probably carry that to the bank all the way. But, that's how it all began. But truly, you know, speaking, you know, rounding back to that moment being on Dick Clark's show,
oh my goodness,
was such a highlight for us because that Call Me album just sent us into another stratosphere in terms of recognition, nationwide and worldwide recognition.
I think too, because we grew up watching American Bandstand.
Yeah.
See, when you sit in front of a TV on Saturday and you're watching a show where you're seeing the Temptations, you're seeing Martha and the Vandellas, you're seeing the Four Tops, you're seeing all of these groups perform on American Bandstand, and then to have the day that you are performing and standing in front of Dick Clark, and you are performing and on Soul Train, and you are performing on Solid Gold. It's such a momentous feeling to know that you have sat and watched these shows, and now you are standing on that same stage,
and people are watching you.
And I'm telling you, I was watching your fashions, too. I was on your website. I saw as a part of your biography that your fashions were influenced by the Supremes, the Shirelles, and then your routines were influenced by the Temptations and Four Tops. So y'all got sass and style, so I wanted to make sure I give you credit for that because y'all were showing out as it relates to. Yes, yes. You did it. You represented us well.
We show out.
Yes. Well, you know what? What were the things that were most attractive about those groups? You know, you've got a show. You didn't just come and listen to people sing, but you had a visual of, you know, some really amazing and great costumery. And then you had this movement, you know, in terms of the routines and stuff. And so we patterned ourselves after the male group. You know, we liked what the guys did on stage, you know, and their harmonies. And, you know, we just kind of pattern ourselves, you know, after that.
But then we like the sass and the elegance of the women.
That's right.
And us as women, we still had it bad.
I need a magic wand. This time is flying by. I'm so mad. But I know that. I want to talk to you about Unsung here for a second, but definitely want to give a shout out again. A couple people were missing, but she did the darn thing. Here we go.
Oh, stage. Okay? Who knows the song? Is the song set? Austin, what's your wife's name, Austin? What's your name, man? Denise, you better go ahead, Denise. All right, Denise. Hey, hey. Is this you?
Marco, this is a classic right
here. Is this her?
Yes.
You better make some noise to put some respect. Put some respect on Denise's name. Take the microphone, Denise. Shit.
Drama and all the curses of the entertainment industry. So what did you want to say that really speaks to your experience watching yourself via Unsung? And is there anything that you left out that you'd want to add?
You know what? We actually gave more than we thought we could give for that Unsung because, you know, the sadness of the end of the Sky era. People, I think I don't know that people took away from how very sad and disappointing that was. That was the drama for us.
That's right.
The end of a 13-year, almost 15, 20-year, excuse me, relationship with five guys that meant the world to us.
And good music.
Yes.
And we never would have ended the way it did.
Yeah.
Like Denise said, it was a sadness. You know, it was a sadness to see us doing so well, and I'm not saying way up on top, but holding our own in this business, and then all of a sudden for it to be done, and it really took the three of us a while to realize that it was done.
Then you pack all your stuff in a paper bag and you take it to the corner.
And they tell you, get clean at your desk. And
you're
like,
what?
Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah,
right?
That's what it felt like.
And so, Bonnie.
The thing is, and we have to say in all honesty, it's not for Austin. We would not still be doing what we are doing today. And we really and truly thank Unsung, because Unsung not only featured Sky, but they segued right into Ladies of Sky. And we have to we owe that to Austin
for making sure that we knew that we still had value,
and we still have reverence. Do we want to kill him sometime?
Oh, Lord, yes. Relentless.
But thankfully, I mean, we're riding today, my husband and I, in the car today, and they're playing Call Me on the radio. They're playing ESG on the radio.
Well, we heard it this morning, as a matter of fact.
So Austin was correct. They're still playing us on the radio. So why not come and keep on holding down that legacy of SKYY?
That's correct. And we, you know, the value of what we're doing became even more evident at Tommy's repast.
Yeah.
It gave us an opportunity because we've been in touch with Solomon and Butch and Gerald.
Yes.
We've never lost touch with any of the band members
over
the years. Many people have said to us, why don't you call yourself Sky? Why don't you just be Sky? You can only brand Sky. And we made a promise to them when we decided to, you know, reemerge as Ladies of Sky that we would never, ever use the name Sky unless all eight of us were present. And so it became, you know, that moment that we all played together for the first time with Solomon Roberts. Let's give them their credit. Solomon Roberts, Butch Sierra,
Larry
Greenberg, those were the three that were present at Tommy McConnell's repast funeral. And our old road manager, Ronald Saunderson. Let's not forget Ronald. Ron did so much for us. Matter of fact, he was doing the sound and all that stuff like he used to. And let's not leave out Wayne Willens. Wayne Willens was our second keyboard player. Vinny DiPaolo was our third keyboard player. I wish we knew where Vinny was. We haven't been in touch with him in a really long time. And Gerald Laybone, our bass player. We have deep and esteemed love for them. And they're always with us because we play with the tracks.
Right.
So people get the real full Sky experience when the Ladies of Sky perform.
I love it. I wanted to read something real quick because we're out of time. Oh, my God. We are out of time. I wanted to give you some more props because not only do you show love, you know, to the people who were there and, you know, help you along the way, but I was on CBS News' website because I was looking up interesting facts about Ladies of the Sky. I saw, you know, there was just this big credit where you credited your fans for your resurgence and that you gave so much love and support, you know, so much credit to them because they gave you so much love and support and they've been doing so, you know, since the beginning. And CBS was very, very excited to write that these ladies still got it, and they prove it every single time that they open up their mouth. That was the part that I really, really loved. It seems like your infectious energy just you just have infectious energy, and it spills over, and it's so wonderful. So I want to end on something, because I think someone is here and they've got a question. I want to give you guys an opportunity before we wrap to give your takeaway. But let's just say once upon a time, long, long ago, Sky was spelled S-K-Y, being that there are three of you. I want to ask you, I want to go around the board, Miss Bonnie, Miss Dolores, and Miss Denise. What does the S stand for, Miss Bonnie? We're just going to do S-K-Y. Give me the first thing that pops in your head.
Satisfaction.
All right. Miss Bonnie, I don't remember the names. I'm so excited. I'm looking at the thing. Give me something that begins with a K.
With a K? Kindness.
Yes. Who spoke first? Who gave me the S?
That was
Bonnie. Bonnie's answering them all.
She's
a linguist today. You see how we trade off as sisters? We don't play.
No, 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 I'm sorry. I thought this was a game.
Probably my all-time favorite was High. And that was back in the mid to late 70s. And I could just remember dancing to that song at house parties and stuff like that. So it's excited to hear from you, and I wish you continued success. And I want to know, concerts that you've all done, what were some of the better concerts that you've done and who have you performed with?
Wow. I would have to say.
And who would you love to perform with, if you don't mind answering that too? Past and present. Anybody you have ambitions to perform with, and who do you love? Excellent question.
I would say our past, and I think I'd speak for the three of us, and I'm going to narrow down, would be Kool & the Gang. We toured with Kool & the Gang for quite some time, and I'm going to tell you that was some of the best shows we had ever done.
Oh, wow. So the most recent concerts that we've done, we performed with Cameo and Lakeside. We were just beside ourselves because we used to perform with Larry Blackmon and Cameo back in the day. And so in December, right, we just did a big show with them. And before the pandemic, though, we were with Lakeside and the Barcade.
Right.
Yeah, woo-hoo,
okay.
To the Barcade.
Yeah.
Keep funk alive. That's all I got to say. Yeah.
Yeah, keep funk alive. No doubt.
That's right.
That's right.
That's so beautiful.
What a great time.
Guys, thank you, Victor. I want to thank you guys.
The 70s was really great.
Yes, it was.
You said the 70s were great. Oh man, that's so awesome. And I want to spread some more awesomeness, because I am on your website. The website is ladiesofskyepk.com. ladiesofskyepk.com. Like I said, we got to do a part two, because there's so much that I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys about. The Ladies of Sky, Denise, Dolores, and Bonnie, original female vocalists of the hit R&B funk band Sky, music career that has spanned over 40 plus years, here today live and in color. And I want to give a shout out, because these beautiful women have appeared on numerous television shows, including Soul Train, American Bandstand, Showtime at the Apollo, Solid Gold, and BET with Donnie Simpson. Yes, the man with the pretty eyes. Soundtrack. I've been in movies.
Oh, my goodness. Donnie said the smooky sounds.
That's right.
He got so flustered, you see, when he got caught up between smooth and silky. So I always think of Donnie Simpson and the word smooky.
Might have to use that. Hey, they're adding all kinds of words to the American Dictionary. Why not? big shout out. I actually still have this DVD. Action Jackson, your soundtracks are in Action Jackson.
Yes.
I have both of those. Here's what I didn't know I would love to talk to you about, because this is phenomenal. My mom and my entire family would appreciate that. Because I tell you, I'm shocked. This is why I don't drink, and it is because of Slitz malt liquor. Oh my God. I don't drink because they got so drunk off of
that. That's
Slitz
my
talent.
And that was that's what they make, and that was that real beer. You know what I'm saying?
That was malt liquor.
Oh my God. I wish I had found that commercial. That's one thing I forgot to do. I forgot to find that commercial. I was looking for it, and I couldn't find it. I was like, man, I'm going to surprise him, and I'm going to play it on the show. But I couldn't find it, but I got you. I must. Oh, man. You know, Austin, I'm going to bug you about a part two. I swear to God, I am. This on my vision board now. So we are going to definitely got to bring you guys back. Oh, yes, that would be so awesome.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Congratulations.
1, 2, 3. Beer does not compare to the taste of the ball. Keep your kitty cat and beer. Get the Swiss malt liquor ball. It's got more than zoo than you'll surely say. It's got more taste than beer every day. So don't say beer, say ball. Hey, no one doesn't like the ball.
Going to get me one tonight.
Be stupid.
Oh my God, that was so wonderful. I gotta play this button. I apologize. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. person come in and say hello, guys. You know them. You love him. You will be on his show later today. Welcome, 678, 698. Michael, say something quick because I definitely got to get them to introduce the song before we wrap this up. We're going to introduce, have them introduce Call Me. But welcome, 678, 698. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hello, beautiful ladies of sky. Denise, the Lord.
Hey, Michael. All right. Hi, baby.
How you doing? Hey, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Hey, okay. We are getting ready. We are prepared. I'm loving every second that I'm hearing. I just chimed in, but, you know, you, even when you chime in late, you're going to laugh because you know you're going to hear something that's going to be like, oh, wow.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm
you
like,
know.
Michael, you already know us. You already know how we
yeah.
are, so, you know.
Love you guys. Enjoying the show. Look forward to having you on within about maybe, what, an hour or so? And we're going to have a lot of fun.
We're going to have our Dolores that Dolores brought, and then and you're next, okay?
Okay. Hey, Valerie Denise Jones, love you, my sister. God bless, and to your network.
You.
Great job. Great job.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I know that this is wrong. I know this is wrong, but I'm going to use it as a soundbite. Please forgive me because I was cackling in the back. I was so excited because you caught me off guard. Can I get that commercial again so I can separate it and use it?
Ready? All right, ready?
One, two.
I am ready, yes, ma'am.
It is not some. You ready?
Ready?
I am so ready.
Okay.
Beer does not compare to the taste of the bowl. Keep your kitty cat in beer. Get the shit more makeable. It's bold and smooth, you will surely say. It's got more taste than beer any day. So don't say beer, say bowl. My lion for a bowl. No, no one does it like the bowl. Roar!
Love it.
We
I have to
do that. That's what we do. That's not a bowl shell.
Oh, that's not a bowl shell.
Oh, my
bad.
You know what I'm saying? It was a lion.
But now I have to say that we did have the one and only Mr. Billy D. Williams compete with you with the Colt 45, the smooth taste. But you're okay with the bull. You know
that's right.
We did ask with the drifters.
Yes. And
right.
As a matter of fact, yeah, Dolores just reminded me it was the drifters
that we did
that.
And what was
the park where we did that? Seaside Park. We did it at Seaside Heights, New Jersey.
Right, New Jersey.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, Valerie, I'm not going to ask them to do the same thing on my show. You just send me that stuff.
Oh, this is not a competition. This is not a competition.
No,
you need to bless your audience.
No, it's not.
You need to bless your audience.
Not.
I told
you
we got to spread this love. Can you imagine if we had these ladies in the White House?
Oh, this happened.
What condition?
This
we wouldn't have no war with Ukraine. We
wouldn't
have no food shortages. Gas prices would be
decent. That's right.
Where?
Nobody acting crazy.
Nobody acting crazy, no. Peace and love and hair grease, like Dolores says.
I would even go as far to say we would be living better than they did in good times. Flo wouldn't have a first part.
We would have three presidents, right? Three presidents. Okay. I got you.
This is amazing. I want us to get you guys, your final takeaway. What do you want people to, I'll go around, I know one likes to shout out because she wants to win the grand prize, but in no particular order.
That's right. I'm waiting. Party, I love it.
And that was
what I
order. I would love for you guys, to give us a takeaway. what do you want people to take away from today's interview? Bless us with your, you know, not final words, because, again, I hope we're going to have a part two, but bless us with something we could grow on and you know, even if it's well wishes for 2022, that would be awesome.
You know what? That is exactly it, Valerie. And in particular, I want to tell you how much we really, really enjoyed our time with you today, because you took us outside of the normal chronicalization of, you know,
the set
things about this happened, then that happened, that happened. You let us be ourselves. And I think that's what one of my credos is: be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. Okay? And in order to be your best self, you really have to have your ears open and your mind open to receive the best information that's out here for you to receive. Stop with the fake news. You know what I mean? Stop. Have an opinion of on your own based upon facts and not fiction. And I think that's the thing that has gotten to me a little bit, because people just kind of listen to other people and what other people have to say. You can take a conglomeration of different opinions, and like I say, I know a little bit about a lot of things, and I think you can walk away with and ultimately become your best self.
Thank you. Is she speaking for the? Awesome. Thank you.
We everybody got their opinions. Dolores is next.
I always feel that, you have to be true to yourself. Be honest with yourself. And once you become that, learn about who you are. Learn about the people around you. Don't let anything or anybody rob you of your peace.
And this is what I want to say. If nothing else, these last 2 years haven't taught you is that life is too precious. So when you are in that grudge-holding mode or that unthankful mode, or you have no gratitude for what you have, think about the millions of people who have lost their lives to COVID. People
Amen.
Who have lost whole entire families to COVID.
Amen.
So let's have a little bit more thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have some gratitude. And let's think about what's most important. What's most important is life itself.
Amen. Wow.
Thank you so much. I know this is crazy, but I found it. I found it. I knew I was going to find it.
She was so much better. She was so much better.
Beer is not compared to the taste of a bull. Keep your chitty chat in beer. Get your Smithmore liquor full. It's bold, it's smooth, you will surely say. It's got more taste than beer any day. So don't say beer, say bull.
My lion for a bull.
No one doesn't like the bull.
Y'all will not believe
it.
I looked it up wrong. I literally looked up Colt 45. I am programmed. That's why I didn't find it.
Well, we know you don't drink.
Oh, my God.
It's confirmed.
Thank you guys so much. Oh, man, that's crazy.
Welcome.
That is so insane. Thank you. But I do want to, guys, we got to get out of here. I know they got to go. Thank you guys so much. I love you to life. I promise you, this has been the best, the most, the highlight of Women's Month for me. I appreciate that. I've talked to a lot of people. No offense to the other people I interviewed, but this was it. And this is the best way to end it. We definitely ended it with a bang. I appreciate you guys so much. And all I ask of you right now is to please, so we can party as we get out of here, is to introduce call me so I can play this song. And I wish you guys a great rest of the day and much success on Michael Gay's show, which is later today at 7:30 p.m. Michael, what's the phone number real quick?
Well, our show starts at 6 p.m. Eastern time. We do have some topics we're going to talk about, but, you know, we have to shorten conversation about what's happening in the world because we have to give extra time to the ladies of Sky. So the show starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. At 6:45, the ladies of Sky will be on air. So pretty much we're going to pick up with this party at that time this whole Saturday. Make sure you join the TMGS. The phone number is 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. Or you could join us at www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. And which, of course, there is a chat room. It takes just a second to chime in. If you don't want to talk, you can also, you know, just type in your questions or comments, and I will read them on the air. Coming up at 6 p.m. right after this show is the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, with special guest, the legendary Ladies of Sky.
And I appreciate you for that because I must be on high off of split malt liquor. Where did I get 7:30 from? I don't know. I apologize for that. Guys, 6 p.m. 6 p.m. I'm going to have to edit that out so I don't look cray-cray. That's crazy. I'm sorry. 6 to 8. His show is from 6 to 8. Victor's show is at 7:30. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. But thank you. Thank you so much. And now, please, please, please introduce, call me so we can party as we exit. I love you guys to life. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, Austin. Thank you to your mama and daddy. Thank you so much to all of your fans and friends. Everybody who contributed to this moment, I appreciate them so much. All right, so we're going to end
the call. Thank you, Valerie.
You guys, please introduce this. That would be great. Thank you.
All right, so introducing Mr. Austin Kwame Wilkinson. Go ahead, baby.
Well, I have to tell you, it's been a joy, and if you can feel the hug from here, you're getting it from us all. And I'd like to introduce to the world, or reintroduce to the world, the number one single off of the Skyline album, Call Me, If You Need Someone to Talk To. Call Me.
Damn, couldn't have figured out. I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
This show is sponsored by the Hurricane Reports, merchandise, and more.